Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
I want to begin this morning by just reading verses 9 and 10 again, Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 and 10. We read these words. Says, Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for this day and this time. We thank you and praise you for your word, Lord, your precious and perfect and just so truthful word, Lord, that just so encourages us and strengthens us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for everyone who is here this morning, Lord. I pray that you would just cleanse our minds, Lord, Father, from the cares and the concerns and the worries of this world, Lord, Father, the frustrations, the just whatever's going on, Lord. Clear our minds, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord, that we may receive your perfect word, Lord, and that we may be transformed into the image of our precious Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, because of it. Lord, I want to pray in particular right now, Lord, that you would just remove your servant and allow your spirit to teach, Lord. This is your word. We are your people. We are your church. And we give this to you now in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by congratulating all of our graduates, all six of them. And so if I get all six of you to stand up for just one moment for me, please. All right, there we go. Thank you. You may be seated. In celebration of your accomplishment, I want to share with you a message this morning, and I'm not normal about entitling messages, but I want to title this, The 3 F's Our Graduates Should Have. All right? The 3 F's that our graduates should have. Hopefully you don't have any more than that. All right, I'm just not going to ask for a show of hands if you do, but the 3 F's that our graduates should have and the 3 F's that we all should remember. So rather than giving a long introduction, I just want to jump right into it. We read here this morning, I wanted to start our text this morning because as we go into the world, whether we go right now, new graduates into new careers or into new adventures in school or whatever the case may be, we must carry with us the reminder and the remembrance where the Lord promises us not to fear, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I hope that you go and hold on to that. Each and every one of us in this room, I hope we hold on to that memory that the Lord is with thee. And he's going to uphold us. He's going to take care of his own. The Lord promises to do so. Whether it be through the schooling years or through careers or whatever you go on to do, the Lord is going to uphold you. Until the moment in which he calls you home, and then you're going to realize the full realization of how much God had taken care of you, no matter what you were up against or what you did. I want to start this morning with the first F. The first F is face your fears. Face your fears. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. We read these words there from the apostle in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. It says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So as we face this world, and we undoubtedly will face things in this world, and we'll come up against fears and doubts that we have in this world, we must remember that God has given us the spirit of power so that we can face those fears. We can, if I can put it to you this way, we can just boldly go right before. And one of the things we can recognize, not only do we have this power, this spirit from the Lord, but look at that other promise he gives in there when he says there that he has called us in a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace. So we can go now in a spirit of power, if I can put it this way, and no longer having a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Why? We can face those challenges, those things that are coming on, because those of us who trust in him for our salvation have received the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is with us no matter where we go. And ultimately, we should not fear, because if we've been given the Spirit of God, we've been given God to indwell us, so to speak, then we also know that our God who indwells us, the Spirit which indwells us, is perfect and loves us perfectly. And there's something that we can learn about that idea of that love in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be doing a lot of turning this morning, so keep your fingers kind of loose there, guys. 1 John chapter 4. When we get there, look down at verse 13, and we'll just go ahead and read through verse 19 of 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. It says, "Hereby know we that we dwell within him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Listen to those words there. It says we can face our fears because we have the perfect God Almighty, the Spirit indwelling us, and he is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. It is such a privilege and an honor and a blessing to be a child of God and know that you can go into any given situation and that the God of all creation is on your side. It doesn't matter what professor you may come up against who wants to act like there is no God. It doesn't matter if you come up to another so-called believer who's made a God of their own imagination. The God of all the creation, the God of everything you see, is standing right there with you and indwelling you, so you need not fear. We have seen the hearts of many unbelievers moved by the Lord for the benefit of a believer. We've witnessed those things throughout the years. We see the examples we have throughout the Old Testament of how God moved the hearts of unbelievers. God moved the hearts of men who were wrought with anger and bitterness. I think about Moses before Pharaoh. God moved Pharaoh's heart so God could use Moses to deliver his people. You think he's upset about one professor or one friend? If he can move the heart of Pharaoh and an entire nation, I'm sure he can take care of that one guy who thinks he's learned. We need not fear. We face our fears. So knowing this, and know this promise there in that same chapter, you're still in 1 John. Look back up to verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4. We read these words. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we read these words. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We can all go forward with a boldness, with a strength, with an excitement to face this world because we know that what we have in us is greater than what the world has. Isn't that an amazing thought? I mean, if I could put it to you this way, it's kind of like having me on your baseball team or Babe Ruth. I mean, I might be okay. We may even win a couple of games against some T-ballers. But you'll probably do much better with Babe Ruth. And this is what he's telling us. The greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Meaning that no matter who you're going to come up against, no matter what you're going to come up against, you got to remember that you have the greatest on your side, not only on your side, but indwelling you. Now, if that doesn't lead to a place where you need not fear, I don't know what can. I don't know what can. I've shared with you guys before the stories of how when I was a young punk, and I was a young punk. Actually, I'm still a punk probably, but I'm a little bit older now. But you know, I remember sharing the stories about when I was a young punk, how I would always make sure I made friends with the biggest kid in school so that he could help me cash the checks that my mouth would write. You guys know what I mean when I say that? Okay? Well, now I have the biggest. I have the biggest. There's none bigger. There's none greater. And he's on my side. So we should be able, knowing this and having this knowledge, being equipped with this knowledge as believers, we should be able to face our fears. Am I going to say you're not going to have fears, that you're not going to have doubts, you're not going to have moments when you go, ah, no. But what I'm telling you is when you come into that moment, just recall the fact that God is on your side. He promises he's going to uphold you and that you have the greatest dwelling in you. That's what I'm telling you. No matter what you come up against. So now on to our second F. Our second F, forget your failures. Forget your failures. This is one that each and every one of us as believers need to really pay attention to. We need to forget our failures. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14, we'll read these words. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Says, Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to what the apostle is telling us right there, what the Lord Jesus Christ is instructing us through his apostle. Listen to what God Almighty is telling you. He's telling you to forget those things which are behind. Reach now towards the things that are before you. Press toward that mark and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What an amazing statement. One thing we must remember to do is to forget. We must remember to forget. If you would, we need to not sit there and dwell in the failings of our life. Are you going to have bad days as college students where you fail a paper or you miss an exam or something like that? Yes, of course. Nobody's perfect. And if somebody tells you they're perfect, they're lying. As a matter of fact, the fact that they say they're perfect, we know they're not. But also in life, we have our failings, don't we? A day when we just go, oh, today was not a good day. I failed today. But the Lord's instructing us here to forget our failings, if I can put it to you that way. Forget those things that are behind. Don't worry about those things that have happened in the past. Press towards that mark now that the Lord has set before you, whatever he's calling you to do. And whatever you do, don't forget it. Forget the feelings, forget the things you think you should have done, forget what you may carry guilt for. You must forget and press on. That's what he's telling you to do. One of the most frustrating things that I have to say I deal with in my life is people who keep bringing up their past failings. Why? Why? Well, how do we forget these for failings? How do we remember that the Lord has forgotten our failings? Turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We must forget our failures. Psalm 103, verse 8 through 13. Now, I do want to say this, in saying to forget your failures, I'm not saying don't learn the lessons you learned in your failures. Don't forget the lessons you learned, but forget the failings. Does that make sense? Psalm 103, verse 8 through 13. That the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above and the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Listen to that promise. Listen to that amazing statement that what he's saying there, and I'm going to paraphrase here if you don't mind me a little bit. He's saying there, forget your failings because the Lord has forgiven them. And once he's forgiven them, he's removed them as far as the east is from the west. Meaning that you can't find them again. Because you can start walking to the east. I want to make sure I was pointing east when I did that. You can start walking toward the east, and at what point do you start going west? Not until you turn around and go the other way, but you're not going to meet it there, are you? The two don't join, if I can put it to you that way. So why won't you forget that which God already has? Does that make sense? Why do you sit there and hold on to it like my failures? Look what I've done wrong. Look at everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, and honestly, if you're around people who all they do is bring up your failures, leave them in the dust and forget them too. I'm being honest, all right? Because we all fail. I mean, that's one of the temptations, though, isn't it? When somebody points out one of our failures, we want to point out theirs. But don't be around people who want to bring up your past. Look what you did. Look what you've done. Guys, I mean, I'm so ashamed of my past, yes. But you know what? I've forgotten it. I've moved on. I'm no longer dwelling there. I don't feel guilt over it. I don't feel guilt over last week when Sean and I had an argument. She might still. Because I was right. I'm teasing. All right? But I don't. I mean, why? Why should we? Just like I wouldn't want her to feel guilt over it as well. Because God forgot it. Why can't we? God has removed them. They're so far gone that we can't find them again. And the only way that he can't find them again. He removed them. And the only way we find them is when we keep bringing them up. Your past is your past. You can't change it. But you can press towards that mark and the high calling which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you, can't you? That's going forward. We all get frustrated when we see somebody make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. I think I've shared with you the example of my mother. I love my mother. You guys know I love my mother. I shared that last week. But my mom amazes me because for years and years and years, my aunts and my mom, after my parents got a divorce, they kept shopping at used car lots expecting to find a new car. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? They kept going to the bars and places like that thinking they were going to find a gem. You know why those guys are in the bar? Because they're not a gem. I'm not being rude, but that's why they're there. If they were a gem, they would have been snatched up already, right? But they keep shopping at used cars expecting to find a new car lot. And so many of us do that in our own lives. We keep bringing up the past. We keep shopping in the used things, the things that we failed, the things that other people failed are. And we keep shopping in those things expecting somehow we're going to find a new revelation. Well, here's the new revelation for you. God forgot it, forget it. So, forget your failures. The third F. I know this one's going pretty quick this morning. We have a lot to do this morning. So, the third F. Follow your faith. Follow your faith. Like we just read, press toward that mark of the high calling. One of the mistakes we often repeat in this life is that, and how many of you guys have heard this? Somebody's giving you this counsel. You know what you should do? You should follow your dreams. You ever heard that before? Let me tell you another way of saying that. You should follow your heart. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you follow your heart, you're making a huge mistake. If you follow your dreams, you're making a big mistake. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Here's why it's such a big mistake. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. I'm not going to follow my heart. I'm not going to follow my dreams. I only have one person I'm trying to please and to honor in this life, and that is my Lord and Savior. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. That blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And he shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from the yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins. To give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The reason why I'm telling you this morning not to follow your dreams, and we're going to talk more about that, not to follow your heart, is because the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. See, our hearts will lead us to a place that we think we're right no matter what. And there are times we're wrong. There's times you're just plain wrong. I'm sorry, but you are. And your heart will sit there and tell you, no, I'm right. And we have to recognize that our heart is deceitful. It's going to sit there and convince us of whatever it needs to convince us of so it can protect us. But what he's telling us there, he says, is blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. I'm not here this morning to challenge you this idea of not following your heart, but rather I would challenge you in this idea. Follow the Lord's leading. Go where the Lord directs you to go. Do what the Lord directs you to do. Don't follow the dreams, and I'm sorry, parents, I love you. Don't follow the dreams of your parents. Don't follow the dreams of your pastors. Don't follow the dreams of your friends. Don't follow your own dreams. Follow what the Lord has for you. That's what you do. And so many of us make the mistake of trying to please everybody else around us and never ask the only one that matters whether we're pleasing him. And that is a huge mistake. Turn to me, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3, we read these words. Challenging you to follow the Lord leading. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your own minds. Listen to those words. Listen to what he's saying there. Look to Jesus, who's not only the author, meaning he had the plan. He's the one writing it, isn't he? That's what authors do. He's the author of your life, but he also is going to be the finisher of it. Meaning he's going to direct your path. He's going to write the path he has for you. He's going to help to lead you into that path if you will follow his leading. But when you follow your own heart, you're going to find yourself going after things that don't please the Lord in most occasions. Like I was talking about this morning in Sunday school. There isn't a Sunday that I don't wake up that I don't think to myself, I'd rather sleep for another couple hours. There's not one Sunday that doesn't happen. And luckily, I have a wife next to me. She pushes me out of the bed so I can help her get up, right? But if I followed my own heart, where would I be? Let me think about that for a minute. If I followed what I thought I needed, where would I be? So many of us are following our own thoughts, our own imaginations, our own dreams. And you know what we end up? We may end up, quote unquote, successful in the world standards because you'll have to step on a lot of people to get there and make other people miserable. But what you'll end up is miserable. Is miserable. I think about how many people make it to the top in this life. End up taking their own life. We even had one this week from the lead singer of Soundgarden, right? Got to the top, on top of his game. Everybody liked him. He was wonderful. I mean, shouldn't his life be joy filled with nothing but happiness? He was on top of his game, and he killed himself. See, the problem was he followed his heart. He didn't know what the Lord had for him. He's the author and the finisher. Meaning he promises to see it through. After all, we must remember that we are his workmanship, and I'm not going to turn us there, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read these words, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I know I've shared this idea with you guys before. We are his workmanship, and the Greek word for workmanship there is poema, where we get our word poem from. In other words, if I can put it this way, he's the author of our poem. We are his workmanship. He's writing the poem, and he's the one who's going to finish the poem. And so let him author your life, and you can rest in the hope that he is going to see it through. And that when he finishes that work, you're going to be completely satisfied and content and happy with everything you've ever done in your life, even if all you've ever done is worked at a fast food joint. What? Yeah. Because he finished the work. He authored. He had you where he needed you to be. So many of us end up in miserable lives because we're trying to decide what we think we want to do instead of asking the Lord, what, Lord, would you have of me? Lord, what would you desire from me? Well, how do I know the Lord's desire for my life? How am I going to recognize when God's calling me to something? Well, let me just put it simply to you. You don't have to scratch and fight and beg and plead and step on people to get there. The Lord opens the doors. The Lord just opens the opportunities. I mean, when the Lord is in it, it just goes, doesn't it? Does that mean there's not going to be some trials and suffering and hurt in it? No, of course not. Those are promises. But what it means is that you're still going to be content even in the middle of those things. Because, you know, this is the Lord's leading. He is taking me where I need to go. We are his workmanship. And remembering we are his poem, and we have his spirit, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're coming to a close here, guys. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You'll be familiar with this passage. Picking up at verse 26 through 28. Recognizing now that we can rest in the hope because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our poem. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to walk in the works that he has set before us. Romans chapter 8, picking up at verse 26, we read these words. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So if I can break it down to you, what he's telling you right here is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Spirit indwelling you, is going to pray for you. That you would follow the path the Lord has for you. And then everything, every path he's going to take you down is going to work out to your good, even if it seems like it's bad. And it's all going to work for you so that he can finish the work that he began in you. Isn't that a promise of the word? That he's going to finish the good work which he began in you. And so this is what I'm trying to encourage you in here. That same Spirit which gives us power now intercedes and directs our life. And his direction is always good. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6 puts it this way. We're going to close with this verse, guys. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I started by telling you, don't follow your dreams, don't follow anybody else's dreams, and don't follow your heart. What I'm telling you is this. Lean on the Lord for his understanding. Now, I'll be honest with you. You'll know the direction the Lord has for you when you lean on him. It's just going to, I mean, you may actually, you know, maybe you've always dreamt of being, I don't know, we'll pick something random. You've always wanted to be a marine biologist. Ever since you were a kid, all you could think about was being a marine biologist. I pick on that one because that's what I wanted to be when I was a kid. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I thought there could be nothing cooler in the world. I mean, I knew everything about Jacques Cousteau you could possibly know. I've forgotten it all, so don't ask. I mean, I love marine biology. We just went down to Salt Lake last week. We went to an aquarium, and my son was literally dragging me through. Now, how often did that happen in life? I'm like stopping and looking at everything. Oh. I'm so excited about that idea. But that wasn't the path the Lord had for me. He didn't want me to be a marine biologist. But, you know, sometimes he calls people to be a marine biologist when they're a kid, and then the kid continues to give them a passion for marine biology, and he continues to open doors and directs their path. Don't be afraid to change course. But on the same token, if the course is opening, don't be a fool and run off of it. Just trust in the Lord. Lean on him for your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what does it mean, all, by the way? Every area, all. That's what it's saying, right? All your ways acknowledge him. Every class you're going to take, pray over your class schedules. Pray over the things you've got to do. Ask the Lord to direct your path. Ask him, pray before, Lord, give me professors that I can work with and still not have to deal with the angst or the prejudice against my faith. Lord, help me. Pray. And then if he gives you one that gives you angst and is prejudiced against your faith, trust that the Lord brought you to that class so you could open that man's eyes a little bit. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So, let him direct your paths. I'm not saying you can't have dreams, guys. I'm not saying you can't even have desires. I'm just saying make sure your desires are according to God and not your own. That's all I'm saying. I mean, because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of people who go out and do what the world expects them to do, what their parents expected them to do, whoever expected them to do, trying to please somebody, and they've never, ever stopped to ask God, what would you have me to do? So, to close, say it again. Face your fears. Trusting that the Spirit of God is with you. He'll always be with you. He'll uphold you. Forget your failures. Don't worry about the mistakes you made. Move on. Follow your faith. Allow the Lord to direct your path. Lean on him for your understanding. And in all these things, you will be successful.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.